through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Good morning, gangsters. How are we?
I'm good, actually. I'm doing very
Not
well
too
today.
Too bad.
It's good.
How about yourself? How's your bubble?
Bubble's good. Bubble's cozy. We moved flat after they did the law change. This is the first time in my life that I've lived in a place with a heat pump. And I tell you what, folks, a true game changer. I feel like a king.
I've got to say I'm happy for you, but also that's like a very depressing scenario as well. But pleased that you're now warm and dry and all that stuff.
Yeah, you could definitely interpret it as a good story for Tim Bat or an incredible indictment on this country that we had to legally mandate that to
Yikes.
Be a requirement. Anyway,
I know we're about to dive into talking about the media. I do want to chat a little bit about your happening show later on.
Cool.
We got a lovely text in from Rosie, who's very excited about the happening show coming back. And I want to say happy birthday to Rosie because it's her second birthday in lockdown.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rosie. And she's a regular texter and we appreciate you. So thanks for listening.
Happy birthday to Rosie. I am a co-birthday and lockdown celebrator, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, big time. All right, what is going on in the world of media, Tim?
Duncan Garner has left the AM show.
Yes.
Now, Garner's been the core host of the show since it launched in 2017. He's been working on the net. I was trying to figure out how to describe this. So he's been at Three for 20 years.
He used to be
part of MediaWorks. That's just been spun off. He's been at that network for 20 years.
Got you.
As a political journalist. He's effectively, in the lead up to this announcement, Duncan was off air for, my understanding is about a week prior to the announcement, which was on Monday. And the resignation was effective immediately. So just won't see him return to the show at all.
Crikey.
He cited personal reasons and the brutal early morning hours as the reason for his departure. And look, I don't know what's going on, but it may well be that he's got some stuff going on in his life and has made a decision to leave. All I know is it looks super weird to leave a show effective immediately after hosting it for 5 years without sort of coming back, you know, to say goodbye properly. It does seem odd to me, but who knows, to each their own. Now, there's a conversation going on about who's going to replace Duncan Garner. I would say probably the odds-on favourite is Ryan Bridge, who's been Duncan's fill-in replacement on and off for ages, and he's actually been the replacement on the show while Duncan Garner's been away for this recent stint. And, yeah, it's an interesting situation. This is... I guess I should be now, after it's been over 6 months, should be treating Three and MediaWorks as two separate entities because, just in case you forgot, they are. Discovery, the big international conglomerate, owns Three as a separate entity, and MediaWorks is now just the radio side of things. But it is weird. We're getting a lot of effective immediately resignations that are quite high profile at the moment, and it sure is odd.
It is a bit one. It is a bit of a weird one, eh? Well, anything else happening in the media scape at the moment?
Well, this is one that this news story is not in the week prior, you know. This didn't happen in the last 7 days, but I didn't have time to get to it last time, and it's a big story, and that's that Amazon's Lord of the Rings production is leaving New Zealand after filming one season here. So this is significant because that production... got over $100 million in tax rebates and support from our government, i.e. our taxpayers, and that figure was very likely over $160 million in the end. This is based on Amazon saying that they plan to spend $650 million in New Zealand. At the time, Stuart Nash, who's the Minister for Economic Development and Tourism, was crowing about the production being great for the country, but a lot of his comments were couched in a few assumptions. One was that we'd be coming out of lockdown at the time of the announcement, so that, you know, the release of the show would coincide with international tourism returning, and that's part of the reason how we justify writing off so much tax. But another was that Amazon would, quote, stimulate business and skills growth in the screen sector. I've just had informal chats with a lot of friends of mine who are in the industry, who are in the film industry, and it really seems like the government brought a knife to a gunfight with the negotiations with these guys. Like, this is the most profitable company, I think, on earth at this point. Certainly up there. And they had, you know, a memo of understanding about certain commitments that New Zealand would be making in exchange for handing over all this tax forgiveness. And it's a standard scheme that we've got now. Yeah. I hasten to add, Amazon wasn't getting particularly bespoke or special treatment.
Yeah.
But there is a law that allows the government a little bit of discretion in allowing these huge tax rebates for big film and television productions that are going to spend money in the country. Another one of the assumptions that Stuart Nash was sort of talking about when he was touting the overwhelming success of the announcement of season one being filmed here was that New Zealand's Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment would work with Amazon to showcase things like technology and research and development that they'd teamed up with and developed while they were here across the different seasons. But of course, now we're only getting one that was made here, and they're shifting things over to the UK. So Screen Industry Guild President Brendan Drury, he was on RNZ talking about the production leaving, and he said that one difficulty that the industry's faced recently was the limited MIQ spaces, and that's hampered a lot of different productions' ability to kind of move with efficiency. But I mean, from my personal perspective, just my own commentary, it's weird that they've taken so much in a tax rebate that was sort of based on an assumption they do multiple seasons. It echoes to me the Lord of the Rings movies when the national government changed the law to block screen performers from basically unionising and having collective bargaining. It's just like we bend over backwards to help these sorts of things happen. And no doubt there are huge economic potential benefits to the country.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in my personal opinion, you're dealing with the devil when you start doing deals with Amazon, and when they say, "Oh yeah, we're going to do lots of stuff. We're going to help the industry here. We're going to do multiple seasons." Like, if that is not in an ironclad contract, you cannot put any stock in it whatsoever. And I think this just showcases they'll go wherever is cheaper.
And it's such a shame. I mean, there's so many people who had been employed by that, you know, aren't necessarily getting that employment now going forward. And I think that's just also hugely disappointing for people who were getting kind of steady income from that job as well. I think that's a real shame too, in the sort of like people's day-to-day lives sense as well. So yeah, just thinking of anybody on those projects who's feeling a bit weird at the moment.
100%. My heart goes out to all of those people affected. And I'm not smart enough or expert enough to kind of do this analysis, but I think it's an interesting thing to think about whether New Zealand wants to position itself in a way where we keep attracting these huge productions, multi-hundreds of millions of dollars, that have no commitment to stick around. Is that the best way for us to grow our industry, or do we want to focus on more small to middle tier stuff that has a guarantee of staying here and growing with a bit of certainty?
Mm-hmm.
Because these decisions make a huge impact on the lives of the people who work in the sector.
Absolutely.
And right now we have got nothing but contractors. It's basically across the board, and obviously that opens people up to a lot of vulnerability with their situation.
Yeah, it certainly does. Tim, thanks for bringing us those two big media topics. Important stuff in the media realm, of course, is the return of This Is Happening. For people who are uninitiated, what is The Happening show?
The Happening is my lockdown show, because I am a sucker for punishment, and when I can't produce stand-up comedy shows because we're not allowed to go outside, I pivot to live streaming. So it's a combination art and comedy live stream that I do. I'm doing it once every couple of days because it is a bit of effort to put together. And it's just me having a muck around with my friends and showcasing art and segments and funny sketches that people have put together on a live stream. It's got a great community. People jump in the chat and have become friends through Happening.
Just
a bit of cool, silly fun. And the whole point of it is just to foster a bit of positivity and take your mind off things that are a bit more negative at the moment. So if you want to jump on board, I'm doing one today at 4 o'clock, and you can see all the back episodes and today's one on happeningshow.com.
Excellent stuff. Well, thanks, Tim. We'll tune in this afternoon and watch you. I enjoyed the, I always enjoy the sports team contributions to your happening show, but I particularly liked the hamburgers the other day. It was insane and very intense.
You got to watch that episode just for seeing Annabelle try to take on, I think it was eight McDonald's cheeseburgers at once, and the most artful use of green screen I've ever seen. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, thanks for that, Tim. Have a lovely rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. Thank